is my plan to dismantle the deep state and reclaim our democracy from Washington corruption once and for all. And corruption it is. First, I will immediately reissue my 2020 executive order restoring the president's authority to remove rogue bureaucrats, and I will wield that power very aggressively. Second, we will clean out all of the corrupt actors in our national security and intelligence apparatus, and there are plenty of them. The departments and agencies that have been weaponized will be completely overhauled so that faceless bureaucrats will never again be able to target and persecute conservatives, Christians, or the left's political enemies, which they're doing now at a level that nobody can believe even possible. Third, we will totally reform FISA courts, which are so corrupt that the judges seemingly do not care when they are lied to in warrant applications. So many judges have seen so many applications that they know were wrong, or at least they must have known. They do nothing about it. They're lied to.
Know all about that.
Fourth, to expose the hoaxes and abuses of power that have been tearing our country apart, we will establish a Truth and Reconciliation Commission to declassify and publish all documents on deep state spying, censorship, and corruption. And there are plenty of them. Fifth, we will launch a major crackdown on government leakers who collude with the fake news to deliberately weave false narratives and to subvert our government and our democracy. When possible, we will press criminal charges. Sixth, we will make every inspector general's office independent and physically separated from the departments they oversee so they do not become the protectors of the deep state.
So this is pretty significant because he, the president-elect, yesterday unveiled this 10-step plan to gut deep state. I'm happy about this. And, oh my gosh, the left is losing their minds. Welcome to the show. Tis Friday. I almost forgot what day it was. It's been a really long week. And Dana Lash here with you. And we are going to get into all of this because I really feel like, forgot to tweet that the show's streaming, sorry. I really feel like deep state is, and it is a thing. If now, and I've been very transparent with you guys about this. Like, I'm not somebody who gets super, I don't get into hyperbole. I don't get, you know, I'm not like Kane. I wasn't born wearing tinfoil wrapped around my head. I don't invest in tinfoil. Don't make entire outfits out of it. Kane and tinfoil are best friends.
It seems unfair, but go ahead.
And he hates old people. Doesn't think they're innocent. So it's just laying it all on today. So my whole point is that wait until you hear some of these headlines, because I find it super sus, bro, that some of this stuff happened yesterday, and like yesterday evening, some of these headlines came out the day that he decided that he's, that, you know, he announced this plan. So welcome. You can find the chat at Rumble, find the newsletter over at Substack, Chapter and Verse, a lot of good stuff out there, a lot of good stuff that we send out there throughout the week. And of course, Facebook and YouTube, and you can find us across the country, Channel 347, DirecTV. So this, I'm trying to figure out which one I want to start with because they're both ridiculous. Let's start with this one. So I feel like, again, deep state's freaking out. And two examples. So the media, and this, I guess it started with the FBI. I saw this from CNN. CNN had a piece yesterday, out of nowhere, racist texts about slaves and picking cotton sent to black people as state AGs, colleges, and police probe their origins. These text messages went out, and it said something like, greetings, whatever someone's name was. You've been selected to pick cotton at the nearest plantation starting November 7th. Please be ready at 8 a.m. sharp with your belongings. That says our executive slave catchers will pick you up in a brown van. Be prepared to be searched once you've entered the plantation. You're in Plantation Group 7. It looks like a, what, I can't say what it's called. It starts with a sh, but it's a naughty word for poo, post. That's what it seems like. It's like a giant troll. And they said that these, like, authorities now are investigating them. And the NAACP is involved. And it was apparently some were sent through what I've never even heard of this company, Text Now. I don't know what they are. And they said they believe it's a widespread coordinated attack and their trust and safety team is on it. And they said that the texts have psychological and emotional impact. And I'm looking at this thinking, so then you have the FBI. The FBI made a statement about it yesterday. The FBI, quote, FBI statement on offensive and racist text messages. The FBI is aware of the offensive and racist text messages sent to individuals around the country and is in contact with the Justice Department and other federal authorities on the matter. As always, we encourage members of the public to report threats of physical violence to local law enforcement authorities. What in the world? What in the juicy sommelier hell is happening with this?
That's accurate.
The FBI is going to investigate the FBI.
Yep.
I mean, aren't they not handling child sex abuse cases properly? Didn't they get slammed for that? Aren't they being criticized for not finding all the missing kids that came through at the border? Nobody knows where they are. I mean, I'm just asking for some friends, right? Because why, first off, I don't understand how this is something that the FBI has to get involved in. CNN, would you believe it? This, I don't even know how many people received them. Do you know? Do they ever actually say, Kane?
No.
They never actually said. They just said some people got them through Text Now. Is that all the people? They don't say what services. They don't say what type of phones. They don't say anything. I mean, there literally is a 2,000-word story on CNN. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 2, 23, 24, 25, 26. Oh, my gosh, 27, 28, 29, 30. 31 paragraphs with no fewer than, like, 6 pull quotes about this. And I'm just wondering why. I mean, they have attorney generals condemning the messages, vowing to root it, but who sent, how do you even know? We don't know anything about it. How many people even got them? Was there a particular one service? Ohio's attorney general said that they are looking into it. He said other people have no First Amendment right to your phone. And free speech doesn't protect telephone harassment. So I am just trying to wrap my head around this. I mean, you got Letitia James in it. I mean, all of it. I'm just wondering, it seems like it's either a troll or probably a Democrat that did it. Just saying. Now, Dave Yost, who got in on it, he's a Republican. And he said he was investigating it. I don't know. It just seems like it's like super. And is it harassment if you get one text? Because I got tons of political spam. That's harassment. So does that mean I can bring suit against all of the Republican Party for spamming the hell out of me for the past 3 months with no fewer than like 50,000 texts a day for money? Because I will totally do that. I'm just saying, because I was aggravated. Does this necessitate bringing in the feds, Kane? I mean, it sounds like it was a troll.
It sounds like it was the FBI creating a problem that only the FBI can handle.
Yeah, it kind of does sound like that too, doesn't it?
It's like trying to create relevancy.
Imagine.
I think they know what's on the horizon.
That's never happened before. The FBI has never been known to do those things.
Right.
Yeah. We all know that. They're completely, completely blameless. So we have this. Then did you guys see what Selective Service did? Wait, you're like, wait, that, yeah, Selective Service, they control the draft. The Selective Service X account retweeted this, quote, "For all you stupid blanks out there that still believe military service will be voluntary, remember Germany 1936. So then, you know, whenever third wave and fourth wave feminists complain about not having control of their bodies, no, you do. Men actually don't. So Selective Service then tweeted yesterday morning, quote, "Yesterday, an inappropriate X post related to a mandatory draft was reposted on the Selective Services Service Agency's X account. We're investigating this incident to determine how this happened and are proactively taking steps to prevent it from happening in the future. The reposted content was removed when we became aware of it. The content of the repost in no way reflects the views of the Selective Service System. Okay, I just find it offended that that agency is offended. It's Selective Service that's responsible for, I mean, your sons, men, it's not your body, your choice. If the government says you got to go fight a foreign war, you got to go fight a foreign war. You literally have zero, you are not allowed to object. It's indentured servitude. And they're offended over this. I just feel like I retweeted it and I said, I feel like this is one of the first things that Elon Musk needs to look at when cutting government spending because it's pretty egregious. So what's happening? See, that was someone in the State Department or in the Selective Service Department. We know, come on, that was someone in that department. And if you think that can't happen, let me take you back to this New York Times piece. It's from September of 2015, lo and behold. What is the headline of this brilliant piece? It's called, quote, "I am part of the resistance inside the Trump administration." Wow. Yeah, the New York Times published an anonymous op-ed essay. They noted that it was a rare step for them. And they talk about this person who's a lefty who is literally trying to gum up the works from in the inside. That's back in September of 2018. You know, that wasn't the first essay that was published by the press, right? There was another one that came out like that. And then, of course, let's not forget the FBI agents that were texting each other about 2016. Who's the guy who looked like the evil elf on the shelf? And then that Lisa Page lady?
Peter Strzok.
Yeah, Peter Strzok. Don't forget those two twerps. So, yeah, I feel like this bureaucratic estate's kind of losing their mind a little bit. Sure as hell seems like it, doesn't it? It's kind of, I don't know, I'm just saying, it looks, seems like they're having some issues here. So it's not unusual that something like this happened. So this is why I think Trump taking a sledgehammer to all of this stuff is necessary. And he needs to do it speedily. Immediately go in. So his plan, and he made this video, and then he published a plan where he gets into reissuing the executive order, removing rogue bureaucrats, cleaning out Intel and NatSec, reforming FISA, and this, you know, directly affected him and Carter Page in 2016 because they lied in these applications, exposed the abuses of power, crack down on government leaders who collude with the press. This because there were a ton of leaks during his administration. Tons of leaks. Purposefully designed to be damaging. Make every inspector general's office completely independent, separated from the departments they oversee. True. Ask Congress to have this independent auditing system to monitor intel so that they're not spying. The thing is, that's a redundancy, and it's insane that has to happen because there is literally a legislative firewall. It's law that is supposed to exist between, you know, FBI, CIA, domestic and foreign. And it's supposed to prevent average everyday citizens from being spied upon, which the Patriot Act made a hell of a lot easier. Patriot Act, by the way, was the thing that enabled the FBI to label parents as domestic terrorists because they spoke up in their children's school board meetings. Never forget that. He says, continue the effort move the bureaucracy to new locations outside the swamp, ban bureaucrats from taking jobs at the companies they deal with and regulate. And he wants an amendment to oppose term limits on members of Congress. Because, see, I hate term limits because that is the average everyday citizen giving up their vote, their veto or consent to the government. We got a lot more coming up. Tax Network USA. Maybe we can get rid of, what is it, the Inflation Reduction Act, and get rid of these 88,000 new agents, because for the love, please. And that's Tax Network USA wants to help you out. If you're one of those individuals dealing with the IRS, they are here to assist because the IRS can be super aggressive. And with Tax Network USA, they have all these professionals that can help you get the best solution for your issues. You're going to get the most favorable outcome, regardless of if you owe $10,000 or $10 million, whether it's for personal or business. They can handle any situation. Even if you're on a fixed income or able to pay, it doesn't matter. They got tailored solutions to help you resolve your tax burdens effectively. So visit TNUSA.com/Dana or call 1-800-958-1000 for a free consultation. Their experts will walk you through a few simple questions to see how much you can save. Act now before the IRS takes more aggressive steps. That's TNUSA.com/Dana, 1-800-958-1000.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Geez, people need to be very careful. 10 die and 100 people were sent to the hospital after taking off-brand Ozempic. How do you even get that stuff? 10 deaths, 100 hospitalizations have been linked to off-brand versions of Ozempic and Wegovy. I'm trying to remember how that song goes. It's always on cable news. Wegovy or whatever the song they sing. They said that Novo Nordisk cited data from the U.S. From FDA on the adverse reactions to the compounded versions of the drugs, and they said that they're still verifying the reports. But they said that there's not a lot of oversight in the production of the drugs, and that it's being compounded or being copied by compounding pharmacies, etc., and that you can get the copycat drugs online or etc. Is Big Pharma also trying to fend off competition? I mean, I think it's dangerous either way, or is it Big Pharma? Because I got a little, I just don't trust that whenever Big Pharma's like, we're trying to keep you safe. You remember the dude who did the voice of You've Got Mail?
Yeah.
He's passed away. Elwood Edwards. He was days away from his 75th birthday. He passed away. And he is the guy who did You've Got Mail. I heard his voice all throughout high school and college. You've got mail. So he's passed away. And also, in Brazil, they're having a huge problem with a thriving scorpion population. Oh, that sounds lovely. There you go. We got more on the way. Stick with us. Our partners at Hillsdale College. Great educational institution. And Hillsdale exists to offer the education that is required to preserve and protect liberty. And that's their intention since they were founded in 1844. It's a small Christian classical liberal arts college in southern Michigan. And they have all kinds of opportunities. You don't have to be at their campus in southern Michigan to take advantage of them. They have all kinds of opportunities, whether it's their free educational podcast, and you can deep dive on a number of issues led by every visiting author, their staff, faculty, or maybe it's their free speech digest in Primus. They've also been handing out free pocket constitutions as part of their mission to spread awareness about our nation's core values. And you can still get your free pocket constitution by visiting Dana4Hillsdale.com. Now, if you have one, you can get one for someone you know who may not have one. And it's a great way to share these crucial documents, not just with your neighbor, the next generation, with anybody who might need it. And it's free to you. It ships to you for free. It's free. When you go to their website, you just give them your address. They're not selling your information. That's all it is a free pocket constitution from Hillsdale. To get yours, visit Dana4Hillsdale.com. Fill out the form. They'll mail it to you with free shipping. Now, it won't last long, so act today. It's Dana4Hillsdale.com.
Keep your finger on the pulse with the Dana Show podcast, delivering timely news with insightful analysis whenever you want, straight to you on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Steve Madden announced yesterday they're redirecting a significant chunk of their manufacturing now away from China. And that was pretty significant. They announced that yesterday. That's they're moving production out of China by as much as 45%. And a lot of it has, and they said it was rapidly, that was their words, to rapidly move. That's pretty significant. And they're not the only ones doing that. There are others as people are looking to diversify sourcing due to potential tariffs. Welcome back to the program. Dana Loesch with you here at the bottom of this first hour on Friday. So we're going to dive more into that because there have already been some changes made. I made the joke on Jesse Waters last night that in addition to that happening and Putin said that, he's thinking about maybe let's have a discussion about peace and all this other stuff. You had all these women that were shaving their heads saying they were going to be celibate because they're mad at men. And I thought, well, Trump also made all these broads discover modesty. So imagine that, and celibacy. Like, keep your knees kissing, ladies. Let's, you know, go right on ahead. I mean, you know. All right. I mean, it's making ladies great again. That's it's pretty amazing to see that. I was thinking about this. I wrote this piece, and I'm going to warn you. I don't have any more patience for, I don't have any patience for people who read pieces and they'd volunteer themselves up for the abuse of internalizing it and thinking it's about them when it's not. I was very careful with the wording on this piece to the point where it annoyed me. I wrote this piece yesterday. It's over at Substack. You probably know which one I'm talking about. And it's titled, Tuesday was Gen X's Revenge on Lefty Boomers. Now, I said lefty boomers. If you are a boomer, are you a lefty boomer? If you are not a lefty boomer, this is not applicable to you. So I made this point, make hose water great again. How the Latchkey Kids Raised on Hose Water Saved America. And I went over the respondents breaking it down by age and how it was Gen X that made it happen. That was the generation that was significantly red this election cycle. And I cited a bunch of stuff as well. And I talked about how, you know, and I was at the tail end of Gen X, still Gen X nonetheless. I mean, I've died of dysentery so many times in the Oregon Trail. Please stop. Like, I earned my stripes, okay? And Saturday morning cartoons were still a thing, right? The internet existed at the end of my high school, but everything else, I did not have social media. It was a very glorious social media-less existence. And I wrote, because I was a latchkey kid, the product of divorce. One of the famous favorite pastimes of the previous generation. And it's true, statistically. You know, we rode in the back of pickups and we rode bikes without dorky looking helmets. We didn't have helicopter parents. My mom used to, the opposite, in fact. My mom used to send me into the store to buy her Marlboros. And they didn't card me. It was a really wild honor system, you know. And we had no idea of this concept of being offended. We would numerically spell boobs on our calculator. 8005. You know how to do that. 800085. And if you talk smack, you got your ass kicked. Nobody litigated that beef outside of the playground or outside of the gym, right? We had gum. You remember this, Kane? We had gum that was shaped like cigarettes and you could pretend to puff on it and it would poof out powdered sugar. Yep. Can you believe that? We had that. It was amazing. And we were considered the lost generation, except as Tolkien brilliantly put it, not all who wander are lost. And we're just practical. Like, we are the weird generation. We were raised by, we were somewhat raised by the greatest generation who witnessed the boomer generation's kind of neurosis. And so I think that kind of kept us on the straight and narrow because the greatest generation was our grandparents. It was sort of a saving grace. But for the most part, we were made very self-sufficient and very resourceful and very wily. And we were all comfortable at being ignored. In fact, that's not a made-up thing. That's a very real thing. Business Insider, this is an actual headline from some years ago. Nobody is talking about Gen X, and Gen Xers like it that way. They want to be left alone. In fact, they didn't even want to be interviewed for the story, which was the funny part about that. I mean, you guys remember political surveys that would look at all of the demographics and they'd skip Gen X and we'd kind of roll our eyes. We didn't want to get involved until the left slipped off the spectrum of reason. And when that happened, we kind of, because we're raising Gen Z and the alpha generation. And we had these far left, you know, Neo Tipper Gore types that wanted to slap trigger warnings on everything. And they promoted the idea that somehow being offended is more dangerous to society than not being able to afford a house until you're maybe 40. And that's not made up. That's not a made up statistic, by the way. I did bring the receipts. CBS, NBC, Forbes, Wall Street Journal. The average age of the first time homebuyer is 40 years old. And it's starting, and it's going climbing higher. the average age of homebuyers just last year was 56, a record high. In fact, it's up. It's so the mortgage, elevated mortgage rates, everything. And previously it was, it used to be the average age was 49 years old. Now it's 54. All of this is why Gen X, all of this and more is why Gen X mobilized, because we were kind of a silent generation to vote Democrats out into oblivion. And it wasn't just a rejection of the far left regulated insanity of these Marxists, the stuff that's like DEI, the lawlessness and the disorder of an open border and restorative justice. It was a direct rebuke of the policies we had to grow up under, of the leftist boomer policies that destroyed the family unit during our formative years. And that's true. I can cite you numerous studies. We're called the divorce generation. Wall Street Journal, 2011, having survived their own family splits, Generation X parents are determined to keep their marriages together. We have a lower divorce rate than boomers do. It was incredibly, incredibly shaping of our formative years. These policies also completely robbed our children's ability to buy a house. And this established hedonistic movement, it grew to rob our daughters of fair play and treatment in sports. It birthed the third and the fourth wave feminist movements that abuse our sons as toxic for simply embracing masculinity. So that's what that was. It was a giant middle finger to the lefty boomer policies that made our formative years, both there was a silver lining, it was good and bad. And that was the consequence of the left going too far. It was a consequence of the left pushing too hard, taking too much. People who just wanted to be left alone, you wouldn't leave them alone. Audio soundbite 9. Now you have this simple jack on MSNBC talking about this exact topic. Listen.
Yet it was the hip-hop and Hulk Hogan generation, the F Your Feelings latchkey kids who came up on Dynasty, Dallas, and The Apprentice, who were the lone age group that voted in a majority for Trump. A majority of Gen X voted to turn America into an autocracy and to condemn our kids and grandkids to a far-right Supreme Court, probably for the rest of their lives.
The fun thing about Gen X is we understand what the hell the word autocracy means. We didn't spend our time growing up talking to ourselves in the mirror into a hairbrush like Joy Reid clearly did, because we spent our time reading books and doing cool stuff and kicking ass. That's what we did. And we were tired of it. You know, you don't get to barge in and tell us we have to use certain pronouns and then disenfranchise us and then rob our kids of actual equality when it comes to playing sports, tank the economy and drive up divorce rates. You don't get to do that without any kind of pushback. That's not what an autocracy is. Do you realize the absolute stupid irony of this broad talking about autocracy while lamenting the results of a free and fair election? Someone take the vodka from under her desk, please. You can't ignore Gen X anymore, as much as Gen X would like to be ignored. Gen X isn't you, and they don't want to be. And that's the truth of it. It was Gen X's revenge and trying to set it straight for Gen Z and Gen Alpha so they don't have to suffer with the consequences of these horribly hedonistic, indulgent policies that kicked off with the greatest generation's kids, the leftists. And I'm going to say it one last time. I've always said lefty boomer. There are conservative boomers that have been just screwed over. But unless you're a lefty boomer, this doesn't apply to you. But by God, I'm not going to pretend that that generation and the leftist policies that blossomed in it did not happen. Just like I'm not going to pretend that Joe Biden, if he fell down, couldn't get up without assistance. But that's the truth of it. And I dare say, I keep seeing studies that say Gen Z and Alpha, like they might be more, Gen Z is, they're a smart aleck generation. Why? Because they were raised by Gen X. We don't claim millennials. Millennials were our, millennials, you know who they are? They were our stepkids or our stepsisters and stepbrothers or half-brothers and half-sisters from our parents' like second and third marriages. That's who they are. Those are the children from the boomers' second family, the lefty boomers' second family, the late bloomer boomers. That's who they are. So we don't claim them. We don't know them. I don't know you. I don't know you. But it is interesting to see because now they're freaking out about Gen X, and I am loving it. Because nobody paid attention before, and we just did our thing. And silent and swiftly, we moved on Tuesday. It's fascinating. We have more on the way, by the way. We got Florida Man coming up. Oh, my gosh. And the Census Bureau is now going to ask how you like to have to sex, because they think it's super important. Are we going to get, like, color-coded maps? Like, here's where they like to have, you know, this type of sex. And this is where they have like this stuff. And this is where the girls and girls live and boys live. And what in the world? Like, they're actually doing that with the census. I'm not kidding. We got to dive into this. And we have to dive into what to expect, particularly with Senate Majority Leader and more. The power dynamic is changing in D.C. Oh, and of course, the lefty tier. So we're going to get into all of that. And our partners, it's new to the program. It is Burn a Gun. And it is a non-firearm firearm. And this is ideal where guns are banned. There's no waiting period. There's no background checks. It's legal in all 50 states. And they've got like 500,000 of these units sold. The most popular model is the SD model. That is their best-selling self-defense option. In fact, a lot of law enforcement have been getting Byrna SDs as a way to diversify their retinue, what they carry. And I think it's always important to have different options in your quiver for self-defense. Now, I always carry whenever I can, and I have zero issue with using lethal force to protect myself. And I was talking with a friend of mine after she got her LTC in D.C. She lives and works in D.C., and sometimes her hours require her to be out late. And she was telling me, in fact, she was the first person I knew who got a Byrna gun. She got the Byrna SD because where she needed to go for her job, she has to walk across the street into a parking lot, and it's like 11 o'clock at night. She doesn't want to be left defenseless, and where she works is a gun-free zone. So she got a Byrna SD. Byrna SD, we compare it to like a stun gun. Stun gun's got one or two shots. Byrna SD has five rounds, and it shoots chemical irritant projectiles, providing a powerful deterrent to threats from up to 50 feet away. You can choose your model, your color, there's accessories, all kinds of stuff, and you can get it shipped right to your door. Like I said, it's legal in all 50 states, no background check, no permit, nothing. So visit Byrna.com/Dana and get 10% off your purchase. That's Byrna.com/Dana for 10% off.
Get the lowdown on the latest news with a side of laughs whenever you want. Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
There is not a single ounce of affection that a man will get out of me after this election.
You're wearing a plastic Claire's Boutique.
I'm not dating men. I'm not sleeping with men. I'm not talking to men.
Good.
Y'all lost that privilege.
Looking at you, it looks like it's a penalty. Oh, I'm going to be mean. Hi, that's why you're here. Let's be honest. What is wrong with these people that are, first off, you're freaking out this bad over an election? You seriously, if you're one of those people who, if you can take the time to videotape yourself having an existential crisis, are you really having an existential crisis? Because it sounds like you're just having a crisis of lack of attention. And those are two very different things. So that's number one. Number two, I don't take seriously anyone who wears the cheap plastic jelly choker from the mall. You know why? Because back in the day, some of us had like, you know how you got the tramp stamp? Okay. I can't say what that is on. Well, can I can. It's the. So. It signals something. You know what I'm saying?
It does.
It does. Y'all know it. So I just stop it. Just stop it. These people who, first thing I'm going to do is go film myself crying and being upset. Stop. I mean, just everything is actually going to be better for you. You're not going to get any affection. It's wow. So wait a minute. You mean Trump made you act like a lady and not a whore? Wow, that sounds like a win, right? Because that means what? Fewer abortions? Because I don't know. I just, all this stuff lives on the internet, right? I am so glad that we did not have social media when I was growing up. Not that I would have ever done anything like this, but oh my gosh, some of these people need to stop and check themselves. You are sharing way too much. If you think that we didn't care about the stuff that you posted before, like when you were posting about your damn sandwich at lunch, guess what? We care even less about this. I'm just going to freak out because the crying and screaming, and there's one chick who screamed into a pillow because she was so mad that Trump lost or Trump won and that Kamala lost. She was so upset she was screaming into a pillow. You were literally just cheering for Joe Biden a couple of months ago. And now all of us, now it was, stop. I can't deal with this. I don't know. I just, you know, how difficult is it to like date today? Imagine you're single and you meet someone and you get their name and then you look them up on social media and they have like videos like this. Oh my gosh. That's like a celibacy cure right there, that are cure for skankiness. Like it immediately encourages because you don't want to get with anybody that does this type of stuff. They're crazy. Also, if you're going to, here's another thing that I've noticed. Justine Bateman, by the way, has been amazing. Yes, Justine Bateman from Family Ties. Justine Bateman, who is the original Parker Posey. Justine Bateman, her. Jason Bateman's sister, who is ironically the freewheeling liberal on Family Ties, has been out there just destroying these videos, tongue in cheek, like making fun of the composition and everything. And that it made me think of that because so many of these videos, these people, do they not clean their house? Like, does she ever fold her laundry? The chick who did this, she's like lying on a pile of laundry on an unmade bed. That's nasty. Like, why are you doing that? Like, you're probably dirty. Now, are those clean clothes? And are you laying with your dirty self across your clean clothes? Or are those dirty clothes and they're on your bed? That's like, is that like your nest? My kids were telling me that it could be like a peacock. Do you know what that is, Kane?
A peacock?
Yeah, that's like when you're like a hoarder and you don't throw anything away and you make a nest to do your business in. Literally, that's what it is. I can't even believe I just brought that up on air, but I did. Stay with us. We have a second hour on the way. Life can take a toll on our bodies. There's no way around it. And whether it's just sitting for hours on end at your computer or if you're working a physical job, over time, your body pays the price. There is, however, an effective way to turn back the clock on pain. Relief Factor. Developed by doctors, Relief Factor helps support your body's response to inflammation. And the difference, instead of just masking pain, Relief Factor helps eliminate it for good, and it's 100% drug-free. My husband Chris has taken Relief Factor with incredible results. So if the pains that come with living a full life are affecting you, do as many others have done and turn back the clock on pain with Relief Factor. Their three-week quick start is just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. And when you feel good, it's amazing how much more you get out of life. Visit relieffactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. That's 1-800-4-RELIEF. Try it for only $19.95 and turn back the clock on pain with Relief Factor. Relieffactor.com. Welcome back. It's Friday. Woo! Dana Lash here with you. Top of the second hour together. I've got lots of stuff for you. Oh my goodness. We're going into a happy weekend. I don't know why I just used my dog voice. Every now and then when I get really, really excited, I'll talk to my dog like that. It's the only time I do, but I'm like, oh my goodness, puppy nanny. And I watched Pee Wee growing up. I don't know if you could tell, but anyway, a couple of things. First off, the backstabbing between Harris and Biden. It's intensifying. It is. Super intensifying. They're mad. They're exasperated with each other. And they're mad because they're saying that Harris's team said the Biden campaign, or they said that the 107-day Harris campaign was nearly flawless. The Biden campaign that preceded it was the opposite. Someone else said, we did what we could. Biden had low approval ratings and a late exit. Someone else said Harris is just a bad candidate. Oh my gosh, it's getting so bad. Let's get some popcorn. Hey, I have a proposal that would make everybody happy. You guys want to hear it? So, Octagon, tickets, Biden Harris. She will cackle herself into a KO and he'll just fall down before he even gets to the race. So I don't know who would win, but it would be amazing. Let's just do that. So they're fighting. I am here for it. Fight it out. I'm here. And by the way, can I? Yeah, I'm going to do this. All the people who I heard this conversation. I heard Trey Gowdy talking about Hunter Biden and whether or not Joe Biden is going to pardon him. Right. So KJP was asked about this yesterday and she's like, no, she said it a million times. It's no different from any of the other audio we played. She's like, no, he's not going to pardon him. Okay, but what about a commutation? No, we're just not doing that. A, I don't believe you. That's number one. Number two, then it has been asked, Trump was asked, whether or not he would consider a pardon. And he said, well, that's something that we're looking at. And it was an audio conversation. It was kind of crackly, but he said, that's something that, you know, it was something we'd look at. And some people were going, wow, that's like super, that's a very conciliatory response from the president-elect. Wow, that's like, you know, man. And then Trey Gowdy was saying that would be something that's great, you know, to bring all the sides together. No. No. Blank that. No. Throw his skanky, coked out backside into the pokey. No. Oh, hail, H-A-I-L, no. We are not doing this. No, 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 no. This guy, I had my damn Twitter account deleted because the whole media was sucking up to this administration and they would not allow you to share a real story about that cokehead's laptop. Blank that, Trey Gowdy. No, no, I don't care. You had the whole deep state, the media, the feds. They were pressuring social media companies. You had actual censorship. The hell are you talking about? Oh, I'd let that go. It's conciliatory. No, 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 summer child. This is a reckoning. You are confusing some consonants here. This is a reckoning. So no, no, no pardons, no commutations. Now he's going to, you know, the conclusions of his tax fraud case and the firearms charge. And that was the other thing that was brought up, like with the firearms charge. And God, he's like, well, I wouldn't have brought that. That's a drug thing. But he said, you know, children of like famous people or politicians, they shouldn't be treated better, but they shouldn't be treated worse. This isn't being treated better or worse. It's being treated status quo. I don't want to hear a single damn person. I don't care who you are, Republican. I don't care if it's Trump himself. I don't care who it is. Talk about Hunter Biden getting a pardon before Dexter Taylor or the J6 people. No, 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 no. We're not doing that. I mean, how many of you were called conspiracy theorists? How many of you were told that you are Russian stooges? All because you were sharing or citing or reading that story initially from the New York Post about that Hunter Biden laptop. How many? James O'Keefe, they got raided because Joe Biden's other drug addicted kid, the daughter who was in a flop house, left her diary in a mattress. And it was found. And then they accused the people who found the abandoned diary of that druggie of stealing it after they denied that it was Ashley Biden's. And then they raided her. Put her in jail. And we're supposed to be like, you know what? That's okay. Let bygones be bygones. We need to, you know, we need to reconcile. Oh, hell no. I'm not reconciling with that. Oh, no. That ship sailed a very long time ago. No, 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 no. No, there's no reconciliation with that. No, I want justice. I just want the status quo to be upheld, just as it would be for Republicans. I don't recall Democrats getting their homes raided simply because they found an abandoned druggie's diary. I don't recall people having their livelihoods impacted if they worked online by having their accounts suspended because they shared an accurate story. We had 50 some odd members of the intel community that lied to the American people about a true story. And anybody, be they Republican or Democrat, have the absolute balls to come to the American people and tell us that we need to reconcile and that maybe we should consider a pardon for this? Do you want to get slapped? No. That's a great way to set on fire all the goodwill that has just been built up. Now, I don't dislike Trey Gowdy. I actually like him. But I so agree with this that I could set his decision on fire. And I've heard some other people kind of talk about this. No. No. There's no reconciliation here. No. It's a reckoning. That's what happens when you lose. And I'm not, this isn't revenge. It's equality. The left loves equality. My gosh, they loved it until they didn't. Woo, let's have equality. Love it. Goes both ways, right? No. You had the entire intel. Think of the weight of that. Think of the weight of that for a moment. You had the entire intelligence community lie to your face. They thought you were stupid. They lied. They didn't just lie to your face. They signed a letter. Sent it out to all the news networks. Put it out on social media. Put it out on Facebook. Telling you that this was a Russian hoax. Oh, that's okay. We should just pardon the first son. It's not my problem that he's a 50-something-year-old cokehead. It's not my problem that he filmed himself cavorting with hookers and doing blow. That is not my fault. That's not my circus. That is not my monkeys. You are not on the hook for that. And I'm going to tell you what. There are people who are sitting in jail for a hell of a lot less than this dude. And they don't get pardons, and they're not getting commutations, and they're not getting none of that. You know why? Fortunate son, John Fogerty, because they're not Hunter Biden. All they want you to give is more, 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 more. Hell no. That's what Tuesday was about. So no, we will not be having none of that. I don't care if it was just, I don't care what it was. Equality. And like I said, nobody should be getting or even being considered for a pardon before Dexter Taylor and the J6 folks. Nobody. What about the pro-lifers who went to jail for praying outside of clinics? What about them? What about David DeLayden, who busted Planned Parenthood and is still being dealt with by rogue Soros-backed prosecutors? What about intervening on his behalf? Sitting here run, oh, we should consider a pardon. Oh, like hell we should. Mm-mm. Elections have consequences. Maybe you haven't heard. That's what happens when you F-A and F-O. Somebody should tell Stephanie Rule that, because this is what it looks like. It's just, I hear about the pardon stuff and it makes me mad. It makes me mad. Notice you haven't heard a lot from him. You know, the guy who launders money through his horrible spit artwork. You haven't heard a lot from him. Hmm. Now, in the meantime, the Census Bureau. Oh, boy. I don't know if you've heard about this or not. I'm pulling up the story. The Census Bureau is now apparently going to be asking about everything that doesn't really have to do with the census. They have these new questions. Well, they're incorporating them in. This is per NBC. Questions about sexual orientation and gender ID on track to be on the Census Bureau survey by 2027. The most comprehensive survey. 3.5 million households. Are people actually expected to answer? Because don't you have to answer everything on the census? And then you got to send it in or you get in trouble. So what apparently some of the stuff that's changing on this, and I'm looking at this piece from NBC, is, oh, the sexual orientation. Here's how that goes. Respondents can provide a write-in response if they don't see themselves in the gay, lesbian, straight, or bisexual options. I mean, if you don't see yourself, nobody. Wait a minute. I thought it was what goes on behind closed doors is y'all's own business. Now you got to answer questions. I mean, the government's a freak, so I get why they're into this, but come on. And they said that the gender identity test question, has two steps. So they ask if you were born male or female at birth. And then what is your current gender? Did you just bippity boppity boo your dong away? Like, how does that? That doesn't work like that. You're still whatever you are, no matter what you lopped off. The responses are male, female, transgender, non-binary, and a write-in option for those who don't see themselves in the other responses. Yeah. And then, by the way, in some of the questionnaires, you're given the option of picking multiple responses. Notice how they don't do that for like race, though. Nope, you can't be that. But you can be non-binary. You can be a sexually agnostic narwhal for all they care. But are you black or white? I mean, they're just very concerned about. And then they also have, they're testing degenderizing questions about relationships in a household by changing options like a biological son or daughter to biological child. Again, another department that Elon Musk needs to look at. We got headlines coming up. You don't want to miss. Everybody else's coffee is just heinous. Black Rifle Coffee has the absolute best beans, the best roasts, the best flavor profiles that's out there. And it's so good and it's so affordable. You're getting really good, the world's best coffee. And you're getting it at an affordable price because they understand that this is a veteran owned, veteran founded, veteran run in active duty. They got some active duty there too, company. And everything that they do is a tribute to those who fought for our nation. Now, right now at blackriflecoffee.com, they have their Freedom Roast, which is smooth, full of flavor. You can save 20% on the Freedom Roast with code Dana. Only at Black Rifle Coffee. And when you subscribe to the coffee club, you get free shipping and automated orders. You pick the roast you want or roasts, how often you want it, and it ships free shipping right to your doorstep. So you are always enjoying the convenience of having your favorite coffee on hand without having to do a last minute run to the store to get coffee that morning. And again, they're dedicated to their mission of supporting veteran and first responder causes. This is premium coffee, whole bean, K-cup, ready to drink. And you can also get apparel, kettles, grinders, mugs, and more. So get your freedom on with the Freedom Roast from BlackRifleCoffee.com. And enjoy other top shelf roasts as well, like the Just Black, the Silencer Smooth. Whatever you decide, you're going to get 20% off using code Dana. Only at BlackRifleCoffee.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So I've been absolutely obsessed with the story about these stranded NASA astronauts. Remember, SpaceX has to go get them now. So you had Sunitha Williams. She and her crew member, Barry Wilmore. She's 59. He's 61. They were only supposed to go up there for 18 days? And now they've been stuck up there for 5 months because the Boeing's faulty Starliner spacecraft. They said it was unsafe to return to Earth. She looks gaunt. They had a photo of her, video of her on September 24th, and her cheeks were sunken in, and she's been rapidly losing weight. They said she's undergoing routine medical evaluations, but if you look at her from before she went up and now, it is dramatic. So they put her on a 5,000 calorie per day diet. She has to have 5,000 calories a day, and they're monitoring her. And they said that living on the ISS has a greater impact on the health of women rather than men. Interesting. They said that women lose more weight and they lose more muscle mass faster than men do. They said that it melts off you. So ladies, for weight loss, go to space. I swear I was not just building up for that joke, I promise. Winter storm warnings affect in New Mexico. They're expecting up to 3 feet of snow up in the mountains. Already, winter storm warnings in New Mexico. They're getting some heavy snow and showers in the northern part of Mexico. I sounded like a meteorologist just then, didn't I? Also, a charity... Oh, no. Oh, Kane. I can't read this. A charity shop couldn't... They thought that what they had was doorknobs, and they labeled them as doorknobs with a price, and they were not doorknobs. They were they were sex toys. I'm not gonna say exactly what they were. Kane. But they were not doorknobs.
They were the most doorknob looking sex toys.
Yeah. And they said it was right in the window display. Right in the front window display. And customers were shocked. And they had explained to the owners, okay, you need to put rubber gloves on before you handle them anymore. And then also, you need to not have them in your front window. Maybe don't resell them. That's horrible. An exploding whale. So now there is... It's Exploding Whale Day on the Oregon coast. It's actually a thing that they celebrate. That's horrible. But they said that it's the month to memorialize the exploding whale. And that's when they have this big, it was big in 1970 when they had a huge giant sperm whale on the beach and they blew it up with 20 cases of dynamite and it sent huge chunks of blubber literally flying all across everything and it hurt people's cars and it hit people. Whale blubber fell everywhere. And yeah, so they actually memorialize it every year now, which is kind of fun that they do that. And a naked drunk British tourist was covered in feces after he survived a horror hotel balcony fall. Oh, man. Goodness. Stick with us. We got more in store. Jerome Powell won't step down. Our partners over at Kel-Tec, the P15. Kel-Tec's P15 is the lightest, the thinnest, the finest striker fire double stack 9mm on the market. And I have them. I know because they make the metal version, metal frame, which has the beautiful walnut wood grip panels. They also have the polymer version, gator grip texture. In the P15, you're not losing any stopping power. You're not giving up any concealability. The way that they've engineered this thing is awesome. And with the P15, you get that striker fire reliability, nice trigger pull, tritium fiber optic front sight, fully adjustable fiber optic, 2-dot rear. And it comes with two standard capacity magazines. You got a 15-round mag with minimal pinky extension, a flush-fit double-stack mag that holds 12 rounds for extra concealability. And it's made with American materials by American workers in America, in Florida particularly. America needs more companies like Kel-Tec. Innovation, performance, Kel-Tec. Learn more about the P15 at KelTecWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C, weapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast, because who says you can't make fun of people while staying informed on your own personal time? Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
We're just going to karaoke. It's Friday. We don't care. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash with you. Bottom of this second hour and a couple of things. Did you guys see what happened? I saw this. Someone brought it to my attention last night. What was happening in Amsterdam? Did you guys see this? I saw a video and I'm like, what in the world is going on? Like, these people were getting legit beaten in the street. And I thought, oh, what is this? It just, you know, is it? And no, it was there were riots in the street, pogroms in the street, and they were anti-Semitic. So these Hamas Nazis, actual Nazis, you know, I know that the left likes to be like, you don't agree with me on healthcare, you're a Nazi. There were actual Nazis in Amsterdam running around beating Israeli people randomly. I guess it happened after a soccer/football game. And triggered Netanyahu to say they're sending planes there to bring Jewish citizens home. They said that the police arrested 57 people who were terrorizing Jewish people in Amsterdam. They were watching the Israeli team, and they said the attacks were driven by anti-Semitism. And it was Tel Aviv's team, and there were people who were there to watch Tel Aviv play against AFC Ajax, according to Israeli embassy reports. And they said that, the embassy had footage of the attacks. People were beating random Jewish spectators in the street while screaming Free Palestine and all of this. I mean, they had another, I mean, there's the video's harsh. People were getting beaten in the street. There was somebody who had they were stealing people's passports. The Hamas Nazis stole people's passports, and it looked pretty, it was bad. It was bad. And they would go up to random people as they saw them leaving the stadium, and they go, where are you from? Where are you from? Where are you from? And, you know, when you're a soccer fan, you know, you bring what? You bring, you know, a flag, you have your hat, you have the scarves, you know, all of that stuff. And they were targeting people that had any kind of like visual or anybody they thought might be Jewish. and they were running up to them, going, "Where are you from? Where are you from?" And one person had said Israel, and they, before he could even get the L out of his face, like, they decked him. And it was like, some were speaking in like broken English, others were speaking in Hebrew. There was, I don't know what, so I couldn't even understand the Hamas Nazis, but they were screaming, because they were screaming so, and there were so many of them. It was like impossible to deduce, except when they were saying "Free Palestine" and then someone was yelling "Allahu Akbar." Then you could tell that. They said Dutch authorities were treating people in the hospitals, and it just seemed like the media was sort of playing it down, right? Again, you learned it on X. You didn't learn it anywhere else. They said Israeli soccer fans over at Wall Street Journal were chastened and beaten down by crowds in what the leaders of both countries called anti-Semitic attacks. So there's where the real Nazis are. The real Nazis are in Amsterdam. The real Nazis are in Gaza. The real Nazis are those people who've been attacking Jewish people just because they're Jewish. And they went up there to watch a game, a match. They went up there to watch a match. That's all they did. And so now, apparently they're sending in, they're sending rescue planes. Netanyahu condemned it, as well as the leaders in Amsterdam, other Dutch leaders, Dutch Prime Minister, I love his name, Dick Schoof, said he followed the news with horror, and he assured Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu that the perpetrators would be tracked down and prosecuted. And they all said it was anti-Semitic. And, I mean, it was, there was one, they had an interview with several soccer fans, one Tel Aviv fan, Eldar Shahar, who flew from Israel to Amsterdam for the game. And he went to, after he got, you know, back to his hotel from the stadium, he went to bed, woke up this morning, and he said that his phone, there was a tsunami of messages from friends. His mother was hysterical. He went right back to go to bed after the game, and so he hadn't seen the violence. Some of his friends had been attacked. Passports had been stolen. It was pretty crazy. And we know the passports had been stolen because the Hamas Nazis were literally bragging about it, posting photos of them and videos of them taking their passports with their passports. I saw a ton of video of it and some of the photos. So I don't know. They were telling people to stay in their hotel rooms, don't show Israeli or Jewish symbols. And then the Israeli military said they were going to deploy a rescue mission in coordination with the Dutch government. They were going to use cargo aircraft as well as medical and rescue teams. This is what happens with the worldwide infantado that they were calling for. This is exactly what you get. It's just wild. Just that this happens. Just wild. And there's been an increase in these attacks since the terrorist attack of October 7th, 2023. 57 arrests. And a lot of it, I'm just going to say, they didn't look like Dutch people carrying out the attacks. So it's that worldwide infantada. It's exactly what it is. This is what it comes to. And there was not, you didn't see hardly anything about this. Nothing in the mainstream press. And in fact, if I were to go and see what's tracking, the left is still losing their minds over Trump, because they said they're being very careful. He's a fascist. It's very hard to say Trump's a Nazi when you have actual Jewish people being lynched in the streets by real, literal Nazis in Amsterdam. And then you have this wave of racist texts after election prompts FBI scrutiny. Nobody believes this. But they're running with it. I don't know. This is not trending anywhere. The story that I'm sharing with you right now is not trending anywhere. Seems like it's a big deal that you can't even, you know, go to and cheer on your team and carry a flag for your country while cheering your team on. It's because all of this terrorist apology, these apologists have been coddled. They've been catered to out of some sort of false diversity. That's not what diversity. Entertaining and treating legitimate terrorists is not diversity. It's stupidity. It's suicide. But this is also what happens in Amsterdam with the videos that you saw when you have an unarmed populace. If I had seen something like that, somebody getting beaten and attacked in the middle of the streets, you're damn right I would have drawn down on them. Oh, without a doubt. No hesitation. Because I know when I'm in the right and when I'm in the wrong. When I see people targeting people for what they are and what they believe, and these Nazi Hamas people in the streets attacking people, stealing their passports, it's pretty easy to know who's in the wrong there. But yeah, in the meantime, feds are wasting very serious time and serious resource. Mean text messages. I talked about this at the top of the hour, and there's still nothing that has come up about how many people this was sent to. What did they use? Nothing. You're just supposed to accept that it's true because the FBI said it was happening. I feel like we've been here before, right? How do we know the FBI didn't send these messages? Can you think they did it?
Yeah, I do.
I see that there is a coordinated effort to make the FBI look relevant and needed. There was another story I saw Reuters put out this morning about how, the FBI thwarted a plot by Iranians to assassinate Trump. So it's clearly there's a media effort or some sort of underlying effort to make the FBI look relevant and needed. And I think this was part of it.
Oh, so now all of a sudden they're really worried about protecting Trump from any kind of Iranian attacks?
Yeah, now they're behind that.
Oh, yeah. Did they ever figure out whose coke that was?
I heard it was Kamala's.
What about the bomb that they found January 6th that was out in the streets?
I didn't go anywhere.
Okay. I was just wondering. I was just wondering how that all worked.
I think they pleaded the fifth. They didn't want to incriminate themselves.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe they didn't. One of the other interesting things that I've been seeing, too, since obviously this, our election, is how quickly it seems like world leaders are scrambling and business leaders. Like I was telling you earlier, Steve Madden is reducing, they're removing their manufacturing from China, like 48% they're reducing it down, moving their production. And then I was also reading about how Qatar is telling Hamas to get out. Now, we'll see. But they very abruptly, out of nowhere, told Hamas leaders, because Hamas leaders have been living there. They don't live in the strip of land that they have been representing since 2005. They live in Qatar, in luxury. So that country told Hamas leaders that they are no longer welcome. This is according to Israeli media. And apparently a Lebanese newspaper. Interesting. So they're being told to get out. And one of the other things that we're going to be discussing coming up with Matt Maurer, he's with the EU-US Forum, is now the EU is moving, they're changing their footing on energy purchase. So they're trying to get around Trump's tariffs. And they're saying, well, we could purchase more U.S. gas. Huh. We're going to talk about that with him coming up because that's incredibly interesting. Watch and see what changes. And I know that you're going to have just steel yourselves. There's going to be the debate coming on the right, within the right, between the libertarians and the Republicans. Conservatives are going to kind of watch and then weigh in about tariffs. There's that debate. It's already happening. That debate with it, which is a healthy debate. Fine. I have a good debate because I come up with the best possible solution for everybody. That's fine. But just look at what's changing right now. Right now.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
All right. Why do people think they can get away with this kind of stuff? This is an Okaloosa. So a Florida man is in big trouble because he was like, he woke up and thought, you know what would be smart for me to do today? To impersonate a federal agent and then put flashing blue lights on his car and run them. Okaloosa County Sheriff's Office arrested a dude for doing just that. His name is Salvatore Gruni. 69 years old. That guy's 69. Wow. He looks a lot older than that. Faces multiple charges, openly carrying a firearm, impersonating a federal agent, possession of a firearm during the commission of a felony, Unlawful use of blue lights. I did not know that was a crime. What if I just wanted flashing blue lights to, like, you annoy me in the traffic and just flash them? I don't know. An unlawful use of a badge. So someone called him, reported him to the sheriff's office. They said a guy in a New York City shirt and jeans stopped his vehicle, said he's law enforcement. And the caller was like, I don't think so. And then it went from there. And he said that he claimed to be with the Office of Naval Intelligence. And that he said he worked for Navy Criminal Investigative Service. And then he showed a card for the Office of Naval Intelligence. And they said that it looked fake. And the photo added after it was issued. And so he was, you know, caught by the cops and detained. But can I just say, why in the world, first off, those people who are in those positions, that's, they don't pull over like people for traffic stops, number one. Number two, why do you think that it's smart to impersonate a federal agent and then act like you're going to do a traffic stop and you walk out in just like a t-shirt and jeans in your random civilian car, right? Like, what is the matter with you? So this guy has a ton of charges against him, and he is still in custody, as you would think. Let's see. This Florida man hero, he saw a dog in distress, and he jumped into the canal to save the dog. Yes, sir. Yes, Flagler County. Deputies responded to a report of a dog in distress, and they encountered a citizen in a kayak who was trying to rescue the dog. They were trying to get the dog to safety. And they said that it got out of its yard and jumped into the canal. Deputy Wolf. Of course, his name is Deputy Wolf. Come on. Deputy Alex Wolf dove off the kayak, rescued the dog. And it was turned over to animal control in good health. And it was eventually returned to its owner. Bless his baby heart. And they did not know how long this dog was struggling to get out of there. It was really hard for the dog to get, because it looked like it was kind of like a flooded, like a swampy kind of area, so it was the dog couldn't get like solid ground. They said that they were able to get it back home, and the owner was very happy. But oh my gosh, Deputy Wolf saved the dog. Can you imagine? Just the luck. Oh, well, I got to tell you, I'm torn on this one. If someone's like, Dana, there's a kangaroo that's loose, there's maybe a 15% of me that's like, pet? And the other's like, did you see that video where it knocked that dude out? A kangaroo was on the loose in Volusia County. It was finally captured. It was spotted this week. And remember, this is the kangaroo that got out of its enclosure after this incident with a bear. And then they kept seeing it in different parts of the area. Well, they finally got it. It didn't pose a threat to anybody, but the owner of the kangaroo was cited for an expired Class 3 license over a year, improper caging, failure to notify Florida Wildlife and Fish and Wildlife and Conservation, because they have to report the escape within 12 hours. So that was, thankfully, they were able to get the kangaroo and he was okay. But I love that they still had, like, they had all of these videos of this thing where you could see him in the wild and you could see him in the trees. It's funny. All right, we've got more on the way, including coming up some of the things that are already changing now that Trump is president-elect. We're going to talk about that. We're also going to get into some of the latest leftist reactions, the Democrat Civil War, and what the GOP needs to do next. Stick with us. Welcome back to the program. Dana Loesch with you at the top of this third hour. And we are watching. They're dragging their feet on some of these races at finalizing this stuff. And of course, we've written all about it. You can find it up at Substack, chapter and verse. And also, don't forget to check us out on Channel 347, DirecTV, and also the chats at Rumble. We're on X. We're all over the place. So, what is going to happen with the Senate? Because now we are going to have a new Senate Majority Leader. Mitch McConnell is stepping down. So what's going to happen? There's a lot of questions as to who's going to step up and take over. A lot of people are saying Rick Scott. Not my first choice. Rick Scott's pretty rhino-y. I mean, let's not forget Rick Scott was the guy. That's the reason why Florida has red flag laws. I don't necessarily trust him very much on 2A issues, and there's a few other issues that I mean, there are worse choices to be made, but I don't know. The cabinet is starting to take shape. Trump announced his chief of staff, the first woman ever, you know, because he's apparently such a big sexist. Susie Wiles, who's a pretty known operative. I don't know why people are saying that she's not, she's an unknown. She's ever pretty much, a lot of people, if you're in politics, you've heard of her. She's Florida-based, and she works with, she's working with Trump now. She used to work with Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, and apparently there was some sort of spectacular falling out, and then she moved to the Trump camp, and she's being credited with running a more disciplined campaign with him. And she's Steve, who's football, her dad's a football player. What football player was he? Summerall? That's right. So she's chief of staff, and they're fleshing out the rest of what the cabinet could look like. You know, it's there's a lot of flurry of activity because you got until January really to get everything done. And so there's a lot of this activity. And so she's chief of staff. They're trying to, you know, who could be potentially AG? Who could? I know that they've been floating around in a lot of names. They were looking at Missouri's attorney general, Andrew Bailey, as a potential. Andrew Bailey's great. I don't think that he is necessarily wanting to leave Missouri, at least right now, because he's got young kids. He's got a lot of kids. And I think just in conversations that I've had with him, and I don't think that he's necessarily, he would be a great choice, but I don't think he's necessarily wanting to leave Missouri yet because he's got young kids and he's got a lot of options in Missouri too. So, I mean, he could, you know, he could maybe run for governor at some point. I mean, who knows, but, and maybe he should, considering Amendment 3 actually passed there because of the inaction of their governor. You know, maybe if that governor, if Missouri's governor had done what Florida's governor has done, maybe it wouldn't have passed. But anyway, so this there's a lot of movement. What's going to happen? One of the things that I do know, and I know that you all just went through and you're like, Dana, give us a beat. I will. But 2026 are the midterms. And this is the time that red state, there's a lot of red state, most of the red state governors are up for re-election or they're termed out. A lot of movement with these gubernatorial offices. And we need to immediately talk about primaries and reform the way that Republicans are handling primaries. And it's just something that's got to happen. It has to happen. Because I think going into, you know, 2028, you want to be solid. You don't want to, everybody needs to be on the same page. But I don't know. A lot of, there's going to be a lot of stuff that's Republicans are going to have to defend a lot of stuff coming up. Now, this, let's see, looking at some of this stuff, we did pretty good this time around. I think Arizona, honestly, their Senate race would not be this close if they had a stronger candidate. Can we be honest for a moment? I know you're not supposed to be. You're supposed to blow smoke up everyone's ass. But I say this because I like winning, okay? I like winning more than I like anybody who would bring the win. I like winning a lot. And I like people who can win quite easily. I think that if you had a stronger candidate in Arizona, it wouldn't be like this right now. Because I don't think is so much a reflection of Trump in Arizona. Because Trump, you know, it's already been called down ballot for the Senate. It should not be this hard for Carrie Lake. That's a real thing. Come on. It's okay to say it. No one's going to take your Costco card. You're all right to say it. It's true. You all know it. I say this because I want to be very, I think that we need to be really smart in how we pick candidates going into the future. So this, there's a lot of questions about her as a candidate. A lot of questions about her as a candidate. And Lorraine has written about this. Last May, Lorraine had a piece, Can Lake Pull Off an Arizona Win? And she got into a lot of the numbers with it. Lake, some of the issues that she had were her kind of like Romney flip-flops on things like abortion. And then she really couldn't explain how she turned from her previous position and did a 180 and then went back and then went back and then went back. And it just, she just wasn't very good at explaining that. That's why you need to be consistent, even if it's tough. Leaders are consistent even when it's tough. And she, not only was that, she could not communicate the abortion ballot measure. She could not effectively communicate on this. I mean, it went too far, for crying out loud. One of the that was one of the criticisms, is that it went way too far, and it's your state can't make any laws about this, and you know, etc. Like, you know, doctors shouldn't be able, you can't you know, can't do this, you can't do that if this passes. She couldn't explain the issue enough to voters to where she could keep that contingency of the right, like, kind of in her camp. Because to the point of Lorraine's piece, there was a lot of stuff that I saw, and even back last spring, about, like, that had to do with, like, abortion and pro-life stuff. So I'm just saying, I think that you've got to be consistent. You've got to be a strong candidate. And the Republicans are going to have to really refine how they do this going forward. Because guess what? You got to get 2026 in order, because in 2028, Gavin Newsom's already getting ready. Oh, he's already posturing. He tweeted this the day after. He tweeted this November 7th. Quote, California is ready to fight. And he screenshotted this New York Times piece about himself where it said Newsom moves quickly to counter Trump in California. He says, I just called an emergency special session to help bolster our legal resources and protect our state against any unlawful actions by the incoming Trump administration. But he's already, do you see how he's already positioning himself? He was immediately out there. He ran a very, and that was the only thing, and he pinned it. He pinned it. He's trying to copy what DeSantis is doing in Florida, except the progressive way. He's trying to make California crappier. But, and he's constantly, more so than other governors. I watch what the governors post, and you'll see governors share things about, you know, this is what our legislature did and all this. And they focus more on their job as part of teamwork with the legislature, whereas Newsom is not really, Newsom is about Newsom. And he's acting like he's running against Trump. It's weird. Like, I'm, you know, like, oh, Gavin Newsom convenes a special session to resist Trump. Gavin Newsom, he's retweeting all of these pieces about himself. And he's got, like, there's a picture, apparently, I guess there was a wildfire and Trump came out, and there's a picture of Newsom with Trump talking, and it said, oh, Gavin Newsom challenges Trump. He is really setting himself up for 2028. You guys need to watch this. Because I know it's Gavin Newsom, but here's one of the things I want to caution you about. Again, who are Republicans' biggest threats? It's not Democrats, it's Republicans. Do not underestimate Republicans to shoot themselves in the foot. We got them this far. But you got some good people in the House and Senate, but not everybody. Just because they have an R after their name doesn't mean that they all can do math. It doesn't mean that they all agree with you about policy. And we have this ticking time bomb that is debt. We have a debt bomb about to go off. The economy is just teetering right here on this edge. And it's projected to get really, really tough before it gets better. And that's why you have to have some movement of austerity. You're going to have cuts. And it's going to be tough initially, especially if you depend on entitlements. You have to have austerity. You have to cut taxes. You have to cut spending. You have to cut spending. You have to cut spending. And we're going to have to make some really tough choices where it comes to trade, because our trade practices cannot embolden our geopolitical foes. And I know that we have some capital L people that would love, like, we got to be nice and kittens and sunshine to everyone, but not at the expense of our national security. No, we don't. Not at that expense. So there's a lot of stuff, a lot of nuance that is going to have to be dealt with. And if it's not handled in a just so fashion, it could explode. And it's not something that these lawmakers did. It's the Biden-Harris administration that took a coming out of pandemic situation and compounded it. And so we've got to make things right. But the economy, that could be a drag on the administration. Trump's turned out after 4 years. Every single Republican in office, depending on how it's handled, depending on what legislature does, depending on if they're able to cut, or lawmakers do, depending on if they can cut spending, could be yoked with the failure of it. And then that could usher in an easy win for a Democrat. It doesn't matter who your Republican nominee would be. Remember, people are fickle. The electorate is fickle. They don't look at what you've done, the body of it. It is, what have you done for me lately? That's what they look at. So enjoy this good time right now. You've earned it. But just realize that this is all going to change here in 6 months. As the dust settles, and after the glam of the inauguration, and then when people get back to work, they'll kind of settle in their previous ways. And that's when the fight begins.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
This is so sad. So sea turtle nests increased along one Florida beach, but the hurricanes washed them away. Clearwater, there were 271 nests documented by the Clearwater Marine Aquarium this year along a 21-mile stretch of beach. That's compared to 227 nests in 23. The aquarium said in a news release that a large percentage of the active nests were washed out by Hurricanes Debbie, Helene, and Milton. That's so depressing. And they were able to see some leatherback hatchlings actually make their way to sea. But, oh my gosh, the hurricanes killed the turtles. That's depressing. It makes me sad. Let's see here. Got a couple of other ones. Jerome Powell, he's not going to resign, not stepping down. That's something we're going to talk more about next week, but he said he's not going anywhere. He's not going to. I don't know how you can tell the president of the United States that you're not leaving. How does that work? Like, you're telling the president, I'm not leaving, I'm just going to stay here. I just don't think that that's how that works at all. In Pompeii, they're actually limiting the tourists that can go to the historic site, because they said it's the traffic from tourism is getting really crazy. I do think that you should stagger how you go in, although it is crazy. There is enough Pompeii to go around. It's massive. You can't even actually go through and see everything in a day unless you about kill yourself. But they're going to limit the number of visitors to 20,000 a day and introduce personalized tickets beginning next week to cope with the over-tourism and protect the World Heritage Site. They saw 4 million last summer, a record summer. And it is amazing. It really is amazing to go through. But I do think, you know, having it staggered, you know, isn't a bad idea. I get it. Kane and I were talking about this on break. An ambulance hit an Oregon cyclist, and the cyclist is mad because they charged him $2,000 for the ride to the hospital. Well, here's what happened. This 71-year-old, he's suing Columbia River Fire and Rescue for $1 million because he is in the road bicycling. An ambulance with its lights and sirens comes up behind him. Dumbass isn't getting out of the road. They're trying to save somebody's life and make a hard right turn, and they accidentally hit him. And so they crush his bike. And so he was mad that they charged him $1,800 for giving him a ride to the hospital. That service had to come and get him. So, and the Columbia River Fire and Rescue is declining to comment. I got to tell you, if you're in a car and you see an emergency vehicle coming, get out of the way. If you're on a bicycle, get off your stupid bicycle and let the emergency vehicle go. And then don't act like you're a victim after the fact. My gosh. So coming up, the EU is already signaling, we don't want to buy any more Russian gas now that we have President-elect Trump. We're going to talk to Matt Maurer of the EU-US Forum about this and more. Stick with us.
The Dana Show Podcast, your fast, funny, and informative news companion for those always on the move. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I would not say discuss, but we touched upon yesterday. It's the whole topic of LNG. We still get a lot of LNG via Russia, from Russia. And why not replace it by American LNG, which is cheaper for us and brings down our energy prices? But it's something where we can get into a discussion, also what our trade deficit is concerned. So engage, look at common interests, and then negotiate.
Well, well. It's not even, we're not even past the inauguration. We're not even at the inauguration yet. I mean, they're still counting votes in Arizona. And already you have the EU's Ursula von der Leyen saying, yes, yes, we would love to get some, we would love to get some LNG from the United States. We'd love to get rid of this dirty Russian gas. Very big change here. A lot of people are making a lot of changes, particularly European leaders. Let me give you a rundown of these headlines before I bring on my next guest. This is what, listen to some of this. The media is apoplectic. They say that Trump's return to the U.S. presidency pushes European leaders into a huddle. That's Al Jazeera. You have Politico. EU's opening bid to avoid Trump tariffs. They said that Trump's victory, this is Agence France-Presse, is an existential wake-up call for Europe. Reuters, Europe will pay a big price, warns Trump on tariffs. And they're all freaking out, like Trump's going to come in and ruin the European economy. That's not what this is. Carnegie, Europe does not have the luxury to panic over Trump's tariffs. They're saying Trump's return is a disaster for Europe. And then they're asking, what does it mean for Ukraine? Because this conflict can't go if Trump takes out the money. Yeah, well, that's kind of the whole point. We've been funding all of this. You know, I think Europe benefits when you have a strong leader in the White House. And I think that my next guest would agree with us. Matt Maurer is with the EU-US Forum, and you can find them on X as well as online. He's the founding board member, and he's a former Trump administration State Department official, former diplomat. He watches all of this with great interest. Matt, it's very good to see you. I just wanted to kind of get your thoughts on the EU and European leaders watching Tuesday's results come in and what they might be feeling now at the end of the week.
Oh, they realize they're going to have to actually show up and do some work finally. I mean, they tend to think they get a free ride under Democratic presidents, right? That America's just going to hand out. We're going to stick with a bunch of blasé talking points about special relationship. And look, that's all fine, right? We do work with Europe. We do need to have those common bonds. We agree on a heck of a lot more than we disagree with. But you got to have Europe stand up and actually show up on the playing field. I mean, you know, you talked about LNG, right? Mm. You had Rick Grenell, when he was ambassador to Germany, warned the Germans 8 years ago now, or almost 8 years ago, saying, if you keep importing Russian gas, you're going to be overly dependent on them. And when something wrong happens, you're going to be stuck. And guess what happened? The moment those tanks rolled over into Ukraine, Germany was now caught behind the eight ball. They were stuck in a place where they're dependent upon Russian gas. And all of a sudden, a light bulb went off at that moment, saying, well, wait a second, maybe we should have listened to the Americans on this. And, you know, it doesn't help the situation when you had Joe Biden. One of the first things he did was pause exports on American LNG, right? So this was both sides of the ocean on this one. You had an American president. I mean, it's befuddling to a guy like me, and I'm sure to you and Dana and others listening, why an American president would say, we don't want Europe to purchase American LNG. It's insanity. And so they actually finally, just a few months ago, lifted that ban on LNG because they saw the way the election was going, the impact it was having on our own economy, let alone how it was hamstringing Europe to be unable to have American LNG. And so, Europe got a wide eye awakening on Wednesday morning. And what they're going to have to do now is actually step up to the plate and invest in their own military more. They're going to have to actually work with the United States to have a fair and balanced trade relationship. And, you know, everyone wants to talk about Donald Trump's tariff policies. Those are a tool to drive towards an actual balanced relationship. I mean, the thing he always loves to talk about, President Trump talks about, you know, how many Chevys and how many Fords you see being driven around Berlin?
Yeah.
Zero. Yeah, you know, there's an Audi right now in front of our house and down the street, right? Like, you know, so there is not a fair, balanced relationship right now. Those are the things that we need to work to change. And, you know, hopefully the Europeans woke up to that. And that's what we can expect from our American president, to put our interests first, and then also to make Europe better as well, which is what will happen.
And that's a really great point as well that you just mentioned, too, particularly about the tariffs, because I know that there's going to be, it's been kind of starting this debate on the right between, you know, kind of the capital L libertarians and some of the Republicans and conservatives about, you know, tariffs, is it good to use it, how to best use it, how to use it to improve your position, you know, worldwide. I think of it in the most simplest terms. Why are we the ones who always have to be fair when everyone else's policies towards us are unfair? We sacrifice our own national security at the altar of this false fairness that doesn't befit us and it benefit us in any way. So I feel like that's a specious argument just right out of the gate. I don't understand why we have people in this country that's how they view that's the context through which they look at this whole tariff thing.
Exactly right. I mean, you know, it was Ross Perot that back in the 90s said that you had the giant sucking sound of American jobs going away because we didn't have a fair, balanced relationship. You know, China got most favored nation status of the World Trade Organization, yet they were able to, you know, basically violate every single sort of global order, so to speak, on manufacturing and you know, state sponsoring of their economy and the rest of it. Yet it was perfectly okay to abandon our own jobs, our own factories here in the United States, ship them elsewhere. You know, we finally have an American president who's going to say we have to protect American workers while also making sure American consumers get a better, you know, end of the stick here. Right. And you know, that's only fair, right? It's not that, you know, we're trying to drive a hard bargain because we want to be difficult. It's just driving to make sure that we have a fair relationship. And, you know, what we saw, I think, on Tuesday was really presaged by what we saw in June in Europe and the elections, right? I mean, we saw a rise in conservative parties. We saw that the citizens of Europe were fed up with open borders and these radical environmental policies that shut down manufacturing and shut down family farming, that they're sick and tired of the censorship of free speech online. And that's exactly what we saw on Tuesday, right? And it was a multicultural American mandate that came out for Donald Trump on Tuesday of voters of all stripes. You know, he won independent voters. He got a sizable number of Democrats as well, who said enough is enough. We can't have the open borders. We can't have the unfair trade deals. We need to put American workers first. And we need to actually make sure America is a leader on the world stage. And to your point, Dana, that's exactly right. Europe is looking for America to be that leader as well. Let's be honest. They don't know how to lead. They can't do it on their own. They need America to be clear-eyed and principled in these things to lead the world forward.
Now we're talking with Matt Maurer. He's a founding board member of the EU-US Forum, also previously with the Trump administration. Do you think that because these are a lot of our allies, and I know that we see this more with like Meloni in Italy, and I think we're starting to see it now with some of these other countries, particularly like Germany moving. I think you and I talked about this last time. They're trying to invoke certain emergency clauses within their agreements in the EU to help manage their borders because the illegal immigration is the deluge is just unmanageable. Are they more understanding of why Trump won this time around, especially considering the issue with immigration? Because it seems like they're moving to where we are now going to be going where it concerns our borders.
Yeah, I mean, look, you saw the rise in weather. And by the way, you've seen like Prime Minister Meloni, you've seen Wilders in the Netherlands, you've seen obviously Orban in Hungary, number of other more conservative leaders in Europe get this, try to drive the conversation forward. You've also seen other conservative leaders like Matteo Salvini, obviously we know as well, who've been trying to push them in this direction for a long time. And unfortunately, what you have in Europe, it's the same thing you have here. I think the Democratic Party is going through the same reckoning right now, where they're saying, oh, wait a second. You know, it wasn't just, you know, noise in the right wing media sphere. It was actually voters, everyday citizens who are finally tired of it. And so, unfortunately, they're not driven until they see the political consequences of it. And that's what's happening here in the United States after Tuesday. It's what you started to see in the European Union after the elections in June. It's among the reasons you've seen, you know, Ursula von Leyen begin to change the conversation a little bit. Still, by the way, ignoring the will of the voters in the makeup of, you know, the leadership in the EU, but at least on policy, at least I should say the tone of policy. We'll see how the actual policies change, but the tone of policy, begin to recognize voters have had enough of it because they're seeing the real world impact of unchecked migration. They're seeing the increases of crime. They're seeing the depletion of their own economic well-being, and that voters are finally having enough of it. And they're going to, if they don't change it, they're going to lose their jobs. And so that's what's finally waking them up.
I read this, you mentioned tone. I read this essay. It was it's on Substack. It was a very interesting essay about on the issue of tone. And I just remember back in 2016, there were a lot of European leaders who were just shocked. They just couldn't believe it, how forthright Trump was and how forthright members of his administration were. And some of my friends who live in Europe were, who I would say are moderate, they didn't understand that we seem to be focused more on results and less on tone. And I think it's Konstantin Kissin who wrote, Americans are extremely practical people. They care about what works, not what sounds good. In Europe, we produce great writers and intellectuals. In America, they produce and attract great engineers, businessmen, and investors. Because of this, they care about Trump's, they care less about Trump's rhetoric than you do and more about his policies than you do. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, it's so true. I mean, look, I remember being at the State Department and, you know, you go off to these meetings. I had to spend a lot of time in Geneva, right? They just want to have these nice lunches. They want to serve wine. Everyone goes around. It all sounds really lovely and nice. And they all want to, you know, have a little program. And, you know, they all want to be, and that's all fine, right? Like, I get it. It's all has to be part of it. But at the end of the day, I would walk in and say, what are we trying to get out of this? Like, we're just all trying to show up to talk. Like, what good is that? I mean, I remember when I first went to the State Department, I was amazed at the number of international meetings and conferences that exist. Like, we all think about the big ones, the G7 meeting, you know, the UN General Assembly. There are international conferences and meetings for everything and anything under the sun. And the U.S. government is spending money to send delegations to every single one of them.
Oh, wow.
And the things we started to say was, you know, and the pushback you'd always get if you want to cut down and say, well, maybe we only need, you know, 5 people to go, not 25 people to go to the, you know, I don't know, International Whale Conference or whatever. Like, we get pushback saying, well, but America needs to be there. I'm like, that's fine. But what are you trying to get done?
Right.
Because, you know, at the end of the day, if we're not trying to get to a purpose, why are we doing this? I mean, talk is fine. And I'm a believer in diplomacy. You know, I was at the State Department. And I believe diplomacy works. But diplomacy only works if we have a goal in mind. And when we recognize the fact that we need the whole arsenal of what the United States has to bear. Most importantly, our economy, and then hopefully last but not least, always the ability to mobilize the military if we ever have to.
Yeah. Last question for you. What sort of relationship are we going to see now with this administration? It seems that, I mean, this is a pretty strong mandate going into these 4 years, and with a very strong mandate and a more amenable European constituency. What does this spell for Russia and China?
Well, you know, bad news for them. Right. They're paying, you know, the ones who probably woke up with the biggest hangover on Wednesday next to the, you know, socialist left in the United States were Xi Jinping and Vladimir Putin. Right. Because they know that they actually are going to have American leadership on the other end this day, that it's actually going to drive the Europeans to be better. Right. I mean, the thing about Donald Trump, I don't think a lot of folks in Europe understood, is that in a lot of ways, by pushing them to do more, he's pushing them to be better for themselves. Invest more in your military so you have 2% of your GDP go into your military capabilities so you qualify for your NATO, right? Keep up your NATO commitment that way. And guess what? When you've got aggressive actors near your border, you got to be ready for that. He's going to push them on immigration. He's going to push them on energy. He's going to push them on this fair, equitable trade relationship, which, by the way, is going to help them so that instead of being reliant on Chinese communications technology or Russian energy, they have American energy and American communications technology available to them. And that's good for us. It's good for them. And that's who are ultimately going to succeed in making sure we don't have an unchecked China or an unchecked Russia.
Yeah, it's important for not just alliances, for our national security as well. Matt Mowers, appreciate what you do, spreading that liberty evangelism even across the ocean.
Anytime.
Great work. Good to see you. I'm sure we'll be talking again soon as this all kicks out, gets underway going in towards January. Good to see you.
Got it, Dana. Thanks so much. Mm-hmm.
Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast, because who says you can't make fun of people while staying informed on your own personal time? Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
I am so mad over this list that Steve has shared. And I am, you know, one of the reasons I'm mad over it. First off, before I get it, it's some moron over at Ultimate Classic Rock wrote top 50 new wave songs. Just his list that he thinks, because he's can be the valedictorian, the arbiter of all this, Kane. Where's Depeche Mode? How do you have a new wave list and you do not have Depeche Mode on your list? I don't care if he's born here and he can trace himself back to the King Street Patriot and Paul Revere impregnated a barmaid in the back alley. I don't care. Deport him somewhere. This is a crime. Right. Where is Depeche Mode on this list? Wherefore art thou? He's got, he had Nick Lowe on here before Depeche Mode. I mean, they're not even on here. How is this the 50 Tom New Wave songs? Steve sends, he saves stuff like this. I swear to you, just to watch us like have an existential crisis on air.
Just to make us mad.
Yeah. I mean, you don't have specials aren't on here. Where's the fix? Where's the fix? Yeah. Kane, where's Minute Work, Kane?
Right.
I call shenanigans on this garbage list.
I didn't get through the whole list, but did they have Dire Straits in here? Did they have anything like that?
No. Do Control F on the page.
Oh, yeah.
No Depeche. This list is garbage, Steve. It's garbage.
I texted you this as soon as I got up this morning.
The fix isn't on here.
Nope.
Garbage.
I think they have a pretty broad definition, too, of New Wave as well.
This dude does not know what it is. He has no idea what New Wave is.
Like, do you think Brass in Pockets is a New Wave song? Like, I don't think
no!
so.
No! No, it's not a New Wave song. Well, it came out in the New Wave era, so it must be New Wave. I don't know anything about the Pretenders, says Michael Gallucci, who has spent all day bitching about Trump winning on X, and he did that apparently more than he put together a decent list where he can't even identify what a New Wave band is, and he has 50 songs on here, and the Police don't even hit it until 37, and then he's got Nick Lowe, and then he's got Joe Jackson. God love you, Joe Jackson's not New Wave. What is your damage? I'm sorry, Kane. I'm stealing your time. Today in stupidity.
All right. All right, Juan, let's just do 16. Listen to this one. 16.
Okay, so since Trump won the election, we're cooked, yup. I'm going to be leaving the U.S.
Oh, yeah?
And I'm going to be moving to Hawaii.
Ooh, wait, who's going to tell him?
We'll see how it goes.
Who's going to tell him?
Don't tell him, guys. Shh, don't say anything. You won. Have a great week. Take a breath this weekend. God bless. Back with you Monday.